Well, good evening, everybody. It is a delight to be here, and thank you very much for inviting me. It's a bit scary speaking after the person, or the only person in the organisation at the moment, because one realises they will have strong views on a direction of travel. And it was interesting to hear John describe how he sees it developing. I want to make it clear, though, that I'm speaking as an academic based in a university, but one who has been both a gamekeeper and a poacher, given my roles in universities and within research councils. I'm speaking personally, and I'm not speaking about UUK policy tonight. I would like to start by quoting from the UK Science and Innovation Policy document published in December 2014. I am aware that several people in the room helped write it. But it brings together, I think, a really nice summary of where we want to be. Scientific endeavour is inherently worthwhile. It expands the frontier of human understanding. Britain will continue to take the lead in the pursuit of fundamental scientific challenges of our time. Science and innovation are also at the heart of our long-term economic plan. The UK's science base is extraordinary. Science is one of our clear comparative advantages in the global race. So how do we build on these advantages? The UK has historically invested less in research and development than our competitor nations. Addressing this is crucial. Businesses that invest in research and other forms of innovation have higher productivity, create higher quality jobs, and are more likely to export. Our mission is to establish the UK as a world-leading knowledge economy. The UK's ability to capitalise on its cutting-edge science base will be critical to our future prosperity and societal well-being. Personally, I do not think anything has changed in the last 2 years that would make me not want to take this type of strategy forward. If anything, the changes over the last few months, and possibly last night, have made this vision more compelling. UK research and innovation could be the engine to make this strategy operational. UKRI is built, as we've heard, from the 8 existing research councils in Innovate UK, but together with a new body, Research England. So I'm going to approach this from a series of questions. What do I think is worth preserving? What has worked for us in the past? What do we need to change? What opportunities does it offer? The starting point, I think, has to be the current strength of the UK science base, and John has already referred to it, and I'm not going to go through the well-known statistics on that. But I would say, having just come back from Germany, it's interesting in the UK that most, but certainly not all, of our research is done in university departments. But of course, I absolutely recognise the excellence of institutes such as John Innes in Norwich and the MSc Laboratory of Molecular Biology in Cambridge, and of course, the Crick Institute. And for many years, this excellent university research base has been funded by the dual support system. That is the combination of the so-called QR monies that comes through HEFCE from the REF, together with Research Council project or programme grants. This combination of core grant together with funding targeted at specific projects has served us well, enabling us to be internationally competitive. So maintenance of the dual support system is vitally important to those of us in the university sector. I am aware that the Science Minister has indicated that there is no intention to change this. The research councils are also respected for the funding of the best quality projects that are out there. The guarantee for this excellence is the long-standing Haldane principle, which we can argue over, but I'm going to interpret as that decisions on individual research grants should be made by peers at arm's length from government. I guess we could call these peers experts, but one worries now about the stigma of being called an expert. Again, Joe Johnson has indicated that there is no intention to change this. Sometimes it does mean that success rates are pitifully low, and there is far more high-quality science than there is funding. So we also need UKRI to be the strongest possible advocate for increasing funding for research. I will come back to this, and no, I've not forgotten about the need for increased funding for innovation. Another area underpinning our existing strength has been our strong research training, combined with the autonomy of our institutions. Nurturing scientific talent requires the funding to train researchers at PhD level. We need to get the balance of funding between PhD, postdoctoral training, fellowships, together with project and programme grants for faculty right. And this is an area that needs to be continually under review. But if I look to move forward, certainly not everything should stay the same. We do need to ensure that UKRI can be responsive to change. The need for multidisciplinary approaches to grand challenges that affect us and many other societies. How can UKRI facilitate, encourage the appropriate critical mass of researchers to tackle these difficult problems? Perhaps a more ambitious agenda for UKRI could see it as a strong advocate for funding of international partnerships. I was in Japan 2 weeks ago and have returned from Berlin this morning. There was only one topic of conversation. After last night, there are now two. But what are we going to do about Brexit? Is the UK still going to be looking outward? Will we continue to collaborate and partner overseas? It is the only topic of conversation when we visit these countries. The university sector has moved on following the referendum, but we do need to put in place the means of communicating to the world at national level. And I do know the Prime Minister and Jo Johnson are in India this week, that we are open for business. So for UKRI, this could be about enabling multinational collaborations and mobility of staff and research students. Currently, as you know, the UK spends a relatively low percentage of GDP on R&D compared with the OECD average. If we want to have a successful knowledge economy, there needs to be more investment. We're obviously worried about our access to the £800 million a year, about the size of one of the large research councils, that UK scientists win competitively from Horizon 2020. It would be great if we maintained access to this fund, but my point is broader. We need to encourage international, Europe and beyond collaboration. We know that highly cited papers are more likely to have multiple authors, and we recognise that many of the global or grand challenges of our time require international and multidisciplinary solutions. And I would hope that UKRI will be internationally minded in its approach and do what it can to both lead and to support such endeavours. We need to ensure investment in scientific infrastructure, and yes, I am aware that STFC people are in the audience. I think about CERN, I also think about telescopes, synchrotrons. These have been internationally funded for many years and are often built by a consortia of countries. There are issues around planning, finances and building that's complex. There needs to be rigorous scientific scrutiny, but also a timescale that stretches way beyond one spending review period or one government. Can UKRI do more to establish international centres within the UK? In terms of the international agenda, I've spoken about the need for funding. However, I also think there is a need to build on our current international research and innovation strategy. There are responsibilities within many government departments, BEIS, and also the FCO. Those of us who visit UK embassies around the world know the absolutely excellent work of the science and innovation networks. UKRI may be able to offer advice and support to build up a clearer strategy on what we're trying to achieve internationally. The inclusion of Innovate UK offers us the advantages of closer working between its business-focused initiatives and the research councils. And of course, Greg Clark mentioned this, I think it was 10 days ago, in his speech at Innovate 2016. And I mention this because universities have responsibilities to support economic growth, create jobs, and to improve productivity. And our role extends far wider than the simple economic. We have shown through thousands of impact case studies submitted to REF 2014 how society benefits more broadly from universities, whether culturally or through social benefit, as well, of course, as economically. We also have to have access to the Higher Education Innovation Fund, HIE, and we need to know how this fits into the new structures. It's of some interest to the university sector. It is often thought that the UK is perhaps not so good at innovation as at basic research, but we should remember we actually are quite successful in this area. And many of us do recognise that we need to increase the funding for Innovate UK. It's perhaps not as high as it should be, but not, and I repeat, not at the expense of the excellent basic research funding that we already have. We also need to recognise the different strategies for innovation and the model of REF funding that the devolved administrations have. And certainly my colleagues in Scotland and Wales are very aware of the differences and the increasing evolved differences between those devolved administrations and England. Just before I conclude, I would like to mention the embryonic industrial strategy. Research is within the Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy, so it would be good to see how UKRI can interact, be part of any new strategy. Universities are out there in the regions, so we have a strong interest in how any industrial strategy can support our regions and bring benefit to many across the UK. So in conclusion, I would like to see UKRI ensuring that Britain continues to take the lead in the pursuit of fundamental challenges of our time, that science continues to be one of the UK's clear comparative strengths internationally, that we build on these advantages, providing appropriate funding for both fundamental science and its exploitation, so that we can capitalise on cutting-edge science base to the benefit of UK's future prosperity. Thank you.